What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Well, I'm not your host, Michael Rivero. I'm David from Crucial Nonsense, and I'm here hosting again. Michael will be back on Monday. We got Ryan Dawson coming up on Friday. Today is Thursday, June 11th, 2020. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Really, I am happy it's Thursday. This is the last time I'm going to be having to do this. Dealing with all the ugly that faces this world day in and day out, it really takes a big toll. And all the show prep that goes into what really happened and the website, it's really a lot of time that has to go into it. You know, people don't really have a good concept of just how much goes into this because, you know, we've got a 2-hour show here and you see the website, you know, but a lot of work and effort goes into this and we have to trudge through all of this ugly day in and day out. And I'm glad that Mike's finally taking some time off to get some rest, but I'm going to be very happy to have him back in his chair so I can get back to doing some more stuff in the back end. In the first hour, I want to do something a little bit different today. I want to take a little journey into the lighthearted, humorous, and beautiful. Sometimes we lose sight of the depth of what we're facing and fighting here, trying hard to protect all this stuff, and we forget to actually live it. And if we forget to live what we're trying to protect, we've already lost. So we're going to talk about all that stuff. You know, I see all this ugly every day, but there's even more amazing beauty still in the world just because it is, in spite of all of that stuff. So it's a wonderful thing. Today, I want to welcome a very dear, brilliant, and talented friend whose unwavering support and encouragement through these dark times has been a great source of inspiration. Kara, welcome to What Really Happened.
Thank you, David. It's great to be here. I hope you didn't oversell the expectation, but we'll do our best.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll try to have a little bit of fun here and have a little bit of lighthearted conversation and talk about, you know, some of the positive things and maybe start talking a little bit about solutions and what we can do, you know, to help each other out because, you know, we are all in this together and there's been too much division, there's been too much hate, too much violence, and so much of this is unnecessary. It's been scripted from, you know, the powers that shouldn't be, but here we are talking about the ugly again.
Right. Well, David, you know, you take a risk whenever you invite me because I kind of tend to take over. And I've actually been getting really hyped up about what we could talk about. And I think although we'll definitely be somewhat lighthearted and humorous and point out the beautiful things, it's still like serious as a heart attack stuff.
It is.
And that's okay. We'll strike a balance.
That's actually what we're going to try to do. And it's important to have that balance because we do have to deal with the ugly things. But if we forget to engage in the beautiful things, we just go down this dark spiral and we lose ourselves. We lose what we are. We lose what we're fighting for.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've set the stage really well for how what I've been thinking about as I've been preparing to join you today. So thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks for being here. I was looking forward to being able to do this with you.
Oh, me too. So you want to know kind of what I'm thinking?
Absolutely. What's on your mind?
All right. So I have all these philosophical, high-minded thoughts that I am hoping will be weaved together as we have a discussion about the philosophical principles behind the chaos that is in the world today. And I think that that will happen and can happen. And I've got some also ideas about a couple of questions that I want to throw out that would be questions I would ask to the listeners in when you go to the, you know, taking the calls later. I've just got a couple of questions that I would really be interested to hear what their answers would be, how they would postulate answers to these things. They're questions that don't have an absolute answer, but we have to start thinking together as a body of people. We're under attack, basically, and we all know that. we're under attack by the by what we call the left. I mean, it's not great to use labels and things like that, but there's a force. This is a spiritual battle. It's kind of like Star Wars all over again. I mean, put it in whatever context you want. There's a battle between evil and good, and right now it would appear that evil is kind of raging, but it doesn't have to win, and I don't think it will win, but we have to realize the power. You know, it's funny. You hear the communist expressions and things, and one of the things they say is power to the people. Well, it's a true statement, but truth is always ripped off from the true source. The people do have all power. In almost every constitution, in every state of the United States, one of the preeminent precepts that's almost always found at the beginning of their constitution is all power is inherent in the people. So my question, and I'd like to explore with you and your listeners today, is what
to own that power. Lost you for just a second there. So re-ask that question because it dropped out for a minute. The gremlins don't want you talking. I think the question is too important to be heard. So let's have it.
Exactly. Okay, so I said in almost every constitution of every state in the Union of the United States, it has a statement, usually at the very beginning of the constitution, that goes something like this. It says, all power is inherent in the people. Our whole system, even at the federal level, with our constitution and our Declaration of Independence, and going back before that, you know, to the Magna Carta, is based on that premise, that principle. The power is inherent in the people. Freedom is a natural law, and the people have to stand up and declare that truth, that freedom, and they have to act accordingly. If we don't, if we allow ourselves to be subverted or to be oppressed, we lose that power. And my question is, what are we doing as people to assert our power? And then I also made the point that communism has all these sayings, you know, one of them is power to the people. Well, it's basically a true statement. It's just been bastardized. It's just been perverted. And the truth is always replicated by those on the side of the false. You know, communism is an evil force. Yes, and usurped. So the truth is power is inherent in the people, power to the people, but not in a rebellious, violent way, in a truthful, principled, ethical way. And so I want to just throw this around with you and discuss it. And I even have an allegory prepared to put this in that kind of a context as well.
Hey, fantastic.
What do you think?
I think that's absolutely brilliant. And that really does go to the core of what we're dealing with here, because people have let this usurpation take so much of their power away. You know, give them an inch, they take a mile, give an inch and take a mile. And all of a sudden, you know, here we are, you know, facing this dystopian future, and we don't even know, you know, where our power is anymore. And we do need to start taking this back. And I hope that we can come together and do this as more a unified people rather than being distracted to fight amongst each other, because that's certainly what they have us doing right now. Fight amongst each other, the racial divide, the gender divide, all these other divides, the right and the left and everything else. We're all human beings, and we all have so much more in common than we have different.
Exactly. So one of the questions for people who are listening to think about and hopefully address some of their thoughts when they call in later is, what are we doing to assert our power? We talk a lot about the problems. We complain about what's in the news. We complain about our leaders. We talk about the corruption. But we have to be careful that we're not so busy talking about and complaining about the corruption, the problems, that we're not taking back our power, right?
Yes.
So I would like to say, you know, one of the things in that's in a example of what's happening right now that we could discuss this and kind of explore it is this whole thing of wearing face masks and looking at the little stickers on the floor and standing 6 feet apart from each other, which is called social distance, but really it's anti-social distance, wearing those stupid face masks, having all these laws, not laws, that's the point, they're not laws,
they're
but
not
rules that we're told to do, And how many people just are looking down at the, you know what happens? We're being conditioned. That's the whole plan of it. And we have to resist that. We're being conditioned to be told and to think that, well, we have to look around for rules and things written to tell us what to do when we enter a business. We have to look at the floor. We have to have our heads down. We have to be completely subjugated. I say, no, you don't have anybody telling you what to do. You live in a free country. And even if you don't live in a free country, you are free, because freedom is a natural law and you have to claim it. So you don't have to have anybody telling you what to do or how to do it. You need to practice the law of kindness and respect and conscientiousness. And if somebody has a bigger personal space than you do, you know, be respectful of them. And you can see this in people before the SARS-CoV-2 thing happened, in line at Starbucks or whatever. Some people leave a whole bunch of space between them and the next person who's at the cash register, and other people like to get right up there. So it's individual differences, and we have to celebrate individual differences and resist the tyranny of some overlord or some power structure telling us how we have to act, how we have to behave, what we have to observe in terms of rules or laws. But they're not even laws. And I'll give you an example of what happened to me. I went to this store. I went to get groceries. I'm in the store and I'm acting normal. Let's act normal. What is normal? Normal is, just like Forrest Gump said, normal is as normal does. Only he said it a little differently, but I'm just, you know, changing it.
Yeah,
so I'm acting normal. I'm walking around, I'm shopping, and I get to the next aisle and I start to turn the corner with my cart. And right at the beginning of that aisle, this foreign woman, she stops me and she says, "You're going the wrong way. This see the sign on the floor?" And I didn't even think about it. I didn't even stop to like assess how am I going to react. I just acted like I have a right to act. I expressed myself. I looked at her and I went, "Oh." And I rolled my eyes and I just kept on going. I thought, this is ridiculous. It's crazy. I am not letting some corporate, I would like to swear right now, some corporate entity tell me how I have to act. Yeah, we all know the feeling. The question is, what are we doing about it? How? And here's the next question I'm going to ask the listeners to think about and be ready to call later and give us their answer. Why is it some of us are feeling so offended and so subjected, while others are just gladly following these rules and so happily looking at these things on the floor and all the instructions, and we just want to comply? And it seems to me that more people are complying than there are who are pushing back. However, there's quite a few people pushing back. If nothing else, some of them just aren't paying attention to what's on the floor, which is great. We shouldn't have to walk around everywhere looking at the floor for somebody's edict about what they think we should be doing. But why is it that some people are complying and other people are rebelling, because we just feel like our freedom has been stepped on in an egregious way?
Has. It absolutely has. And I think that, you know, we just need to try to live our lives and be respectful of one another. I think that kind of gets us, you know, past a lot of this stuff, is the responsibility of respect. You mean, when you respect people's space, you respect their liberties, they hopefully will in turn respect yours, because that's the society that we were taught that we had all these liberties, and we need to embrace all of that stuff. But yet all the overlords seem to think that they need to be the nanny of us and tell us exactly what to do and manage every single aspect of our life and every single thought. You need to think this, you need to do this, you have to say this, you can't say this, you can't do this, you can't touch one another. You never again will have social contact with everybody. It's just ridiculous.
Yep, I say bovine excrement to that.
Absolutely.
So here's another question. This goes to, in a philosophical sense and layering the onion and everything, it really goes to the question of, what are our values? What are our collective values? We have lost a barometer on what are the values. And now we really don't have a common set of values anymore. So it's a free-for-all as to who is in control of this whole tug of war between what really is the control grid of what's going to happen, what's not going to happen, and what do people believe and what do they not believe. People don't know what their values are and they don't have the same principles. And so I would suggest that we need to reestablish common principles as much as we're able. Because if we don't, we're going to continue to have people say things like Black Lives Matter, and then other people say All Lives Matter. And then the first people are going to say, well, you're just saying that Black Lives don't matter. All Lives Matter. And there's this complete disconnect between them. And then you also have more controversial parts of that, like, well, then, you know, if all lives matter, do we believe that all lives matter? How about the ones that are in the womb? How about the ones that have been started their journey into gestation, and they're actually a full, complete set of DNA and genetic material, but they're, you know, being occupied in the body of some other human being? Do all of those lives matter? Do they not? We need to be able to have conversation about this. We need to be able to talk about what we would all consider truth, and we need to be able to have rational conversation that's based on rationality and logic and argument, rather than, oh, well, let's just go on a witch hunt and try to ruin someone's reputation and say, well, don't listen to them. Don't listen to anything they say because, you know, they're a bad person. I mean, that's crap. And we need to just call it what it is. It's crap. We need to just rise up and say, hey, you know, human beings are in control of this planet, not machines, not transhumanism, not, you know, the technocracy of machines and AI and all that. Human beings are. And we are rational beings. We have a higher order of thought. We have spirituality. We don't have to agree on everything, but we should be able to interact at a much higher level than what the overlords of this world and the New World Order engineers are trying to foist upon us. Now, yes, absolutely. I'm kind of a little bit excited about this. Can you tell?
Yeah, you definitely wound up there. And that's a good thing, because, you know, we need to be passionate about this, you know, taking passion to it. And I think at the core, you know, the golden rule, you know, treating people like you want to be treated should be at the core of everything. I think this is a very simple precept that if everybody followed that, it would be a lot better world. Instead, the golden rule they think is whoever has the gold makes the rules. And that's really not how it's supposed to be.
But that is how it is. And that's another thing I've been contemplating. It's like, okay, what are we doing to break out of this, what, if you will, to you know, steal someone else's phrase, this prison planet? We are all at the mercy of those who do control the gold. You know, I think it was Rothschild, one of the Rothschilds, he said, give me control of the money and I don't care who makes the rules. It's really true. So we all participate in the monetary system that we've been given. And we know that that is enslavement. Who's thinking about how do we get out of that? Is there a way to get out of it? What can we do? I want solutions. Like you said at the beginning of this program, we all have so much in common that's at stake. We shouldn't let the left and right dichotomy rule our conversation and our relationship with each other.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. There's been too much division right now. You know, we're supposed to be, you know, one nation, you know, united and stuff like that. And we haven't been united in a long time. The division has been getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's been by design, because if they can divide us and get us to fight amongst each other, they can rob us blind. They can control us. They can dominate us, because they don't want us to realize that we have common enemies that are after all of us. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, purple, peach, taupe, mauve, plaid, or polka dot. You know, we're all in this life together.
That's right. And you said in this nation, we're talking not just the nation, but this is a planet. We all are, you know, fellow human beings. And you know what I've noticed is that some, in what I've heard in the collective conscience, if you will, and I'm not New Age, but, you know, sometimes these things make sense to talk about, that I've heard people from other nations besides the U.S. talking passionately about freedom and liberty, much more so than I hear a lot of people in the United States talking. It's like, what happened to people in the United States, the land of the free, the home of the brave? They just roll over like nothing when they're told that they have to stay home, when nobody's ever quarantined a whole nation of people, even the healthy ones, before in history? What's the matter with us? I'd like to know. I'd like to understand it. I'd like to find out so that we can maybe do something to change it.
I would like to have the answer to that. And if we go out in orbit and we look down on this planet, you're not going to see all these little borders and lines that divide us all, because we really are one planet. And I'm not saying we need to have a global government or anything like that. I think, you know, people need to be able to come together in their communities and deal with things on the local level, you know, bottom up. That seems
absolutely
to work a lot better than the top down, because one size doesn't fit all. We are all different in some ways. We have a lot in common, but we all have a lot of differences as well. Okay, that is the first break coming up, and we'll be right back after these short messages on what really happened.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
Channel that passion, we can make things happen. This is the kind of energy that it takes to change the world.
Amen. Well, thank you, Dave. I'm having fun, and I'm just going to keep pushing, if you let me.
Yeah, go for it. I think this makes for great radio. We're either going to get good calls or bad calls. Either way, it's going to be interesting. So let's just keep going.
Yes, it will. All right. Okay. So I told you I had an allegory prepared, but I know this segment is shorter than the next one, so I might save that. What I'm thinking of continuing with here is just this discussion about freedom. So the question is freedom important to you? What does it mean to you? Are we really free? Are we free, or have we just kind of been led to believe that we're free when really we're being manipulated and controlled with things like, here's an example, you go to the doctor's office and they want to take a copy of your driver's license to put on file. Do you just whip out your driver's license and say, here you go, and without thinking about it at all, without thinking to yourself, well, gosh, why do they need my driver's license? I'm not driving right now, am I? I'm not getting a speeding ticket right now, am I?
Let's hope not.
What, you know, isn't that what the use of the driver's license is? Well, you know what? There's some uses of your driver's license that are going to be coming. And this is just sort of, I believe, getting, you know, getting things done ahead of time. Your driver's license has now become a real ID, and you're going to be tracked with biometrics, and you'll have this little chip in your driver's license, and you can't get on an airplane unless you have the real driver's license, because it's going to be the national ID card, on and on and on. And so you're going to be tracked in all these other ways as well, like when you go to the doctor and your medical records. You know, you were told that medical records, electronic medical records, are really a good thing, and that your rights were being protected when you would sign the HIPAA form and say, oh yeah, this is, the lady gives you the form and she just says, you need to sign this because this protects your rights. Bull crap. It doesn't protect your rights. It gives them the right to use your information for insurance companies and other people to use the data in the aggregate, they say, but still they're using your data. And you know what? The truth is, you don't have to give them your driver's license, not right now anyway, maybe later, depending on how many sheeple just roll over and give them a copy of it. You know, then they reach a critical mass, and pretty soon, oh, everybody's accepting that new system. I guess we all have to do it now. Oh, now there's laws against it. If you don't, you're going to go to jail. Well, there's not laws against it now. You don't have to do it, and you don't have to sign the HIPAA form. You can say no. Think about it. If you had to do what the HIPAA form is legitimizing, then you wouldn't have to sign it because it would be a law, and they would have legislated what HIPAA does with your records. So the fact that they need your signature means that they need you to voluntarily consent. Well, you voluntarily consent by signing, but they trick you into making you think that, well, you have to sign it because the lady at the front desk who doesn't know crap from apple butter will say to you, yeah, you have to sign this. No, you don't have to sign it. And you think, well, no big deal. It's just a little form. I don't want to make a big scene. I don't want to have to, you know, be known as that person who goes to the whatever place, you know, whether it's a doctor's office or someone else, and makes a scene. Well, you don't have to make a scene. You just have to politely say, no, thank you. I'd prefer not to sign that. But what do? We have become so conditioned, led around by the noses like little compliant children, and we think we should all get along and we should all be, you know, polite. We worry about what other people would think of us. I would say that if we're doing that, we really don't care about freedom, because freedom is for a bold people. Freedom is for somebody who respects themselves and is willing to stand up when it's necessary and doesn't just roll over because somebody says, you have to sign this form. We need to start waking up here, folks. I know I sound like a school marm. I can't help it. I just believe so strongly. Can people start to see, though? Can they start to wake up? I mean, we're probably speaking to the choir of a lot of people who already know this, can already sense it. But what about the rest of them who just think, oh, gosh, I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to be known as that person. I wouldn't want people to say I'm a troublemaker. I wouldn't want this. I wouldn't want that. Well, meanwhile, are they noticing these other signs that we're seeing in the culture now, like Facebook and YouTube censoring everybody, even people who have perfectly good credentials and are telling the truth? Are they seeing
that are telling the truth, they're censoring anybody that wants to speak truth to power. Anybody.
And do you need to have?
This is ridiculous.
Do you need to have credentials? Do you need to prove that? Let me give you another example. So in other countries, they don't have quite as much supposedly or theoretical freedom as we do. And I know of a case in the UK where a guy went to his city council and he complained about, I think it was LED camera lights, street lights that were being installed in his borough or whatever, his village. And he got in big trouble. They threatened to throw him in jail. They took this legal action, and then he went and he testified and he said, well, I have a background in the military and in weaponized systems. I know this technology. I know what can be done with these LED streetlights, and I'm against them. And he, you know, then what happened was the person in charge, the magistrate, said, oh, you're credible. We won't throw the book at you. So does it depend on who you are?
Yeah, I don't know if it does or not. I think truth should stand on its own. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Well, no, it's still David and Kara here sitting in for Mike for yet another time here. And we were talking about the guy that was talking about the LED streetlights and people needing credibility to talk about things. So, Kara, go ahead and pick up where you left off.
Okay, sounds good, Dave. And, you know, I think we should, for today, we should rename the show, What the F Really Happened. Or no, what the F is really happening? That's what it would be for today. But that's kind of covered in the daily title for the show, which is fantastic. So this gentleman's name is Mark Steele, and as I said, he's an expert.
I'm familiar with
Mark. And he spoke out. Yeah, a lot of people are. And the point is that in the UK, the judge could put him under a gag order and say, you can't talk about these 5G, you know, LED lights, street lights. And then he proved, you know, that he has credibility. He knows what he's talking about, et cetera. He basically proved that he has a right to speak. And then there was disagreement between the judge and the city council. And the point is, they were making the decision based on their law about whether this guy should have free speech or not. And I'm saying that kind of thing is starting to happen a little bit and a lot sometimes in the United States, because some people take it upon themselves to say who should be able to speak and who should not, and can we censor? And then they try to even play on fear and say, well, we can't let people talk about that if they don't know what they're talking about, because it's so important and it could hurt people, which is a bunch of bunk. People need to be able to speak. That's why our First Amendment rights are precious, and that's why they're worth standing up for, even if you're taking the risk of people saying bad things about you. If we let those go, if we don't stand up for them, we'll be in a situation where somebody else gets to decide who gets to speak and who doesn't. And it's all based on who controls the controls. And they'll start out saying, well, you have to be an expert, or you have to be in control, and you have to know the truth from the non-truth. But that's bull crap. Everybody should have the right to speak. If you speak poorly, if you don't give facts, if you don't engender the respect of those who are listening, you automatically lose standing. And that's how it should work. Everybody has the right to speak. Everybody and it doesn't matter if you have, you know, royal blood. It doesn't matter if you've got a PhD. If you can put together a rational argument and you can do some research and find out facts, anybody has the right to speak. That is our system. Our system is based on natural law, and we need to stand up for it. And if we don't stand up for it, we lose it, and it costs something to stand up for it. Every single one of us who understands how important it is has to be willing to risk something to stand up for these freedoms that are under attack right now. So that's what I wanted to say about that, and thank you for listening.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. We do have the right to speak. And people, if you don't like it, you've got the right not to listen. You can go change the channel or go elsewhere or plug your ears and go, blah, 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 I can't hear you. I can't hear you, and be in denial all you want. That's fine. That's your right also. You know, we're not telling you you have to listen. But we want to be able to speak, and we want to be able to be heard, because there are people that do want to hear the truth and want to engage in useful conversations.
Yeah, exactly. So what do we really have here? I'm going to start a new kind of a new part of this conversation, and it will not be done before the next break. So we'll have to carry it over to the next segment. But what we have is what we've always had throughout the ages. We have a battle between good and evil, bad and good, and control. Everybody's fighting for control. That's the beautiful thing about, you know, the Constitution of the United States, the Declaration of Independence, the Magna Carta. They declared natural truths, natural law, which say all human beings have a right, you know, to live a free life. And there should be no discrimination against that. They all have the right to be judged according to their own works. They all have a right to have opportunity to succeed. They all have a right to own property. They have a right to be judged on their own merits, and they have a right to be judged equally under the law. I mean, those are just some of the basic principles of our system. And those are principles that could be applied anywhere in the world. And I so appreciate and respect those in other countries besides the U.S. who stand up for that, and sometimes at the risk of their lives. But, you know, it's worth standing up for these things. Otherwise, you're just enslaved. And we're seeing that more and more. So I came up with this allegory that represents this really well. And for some, it's just an allegory. It's just, you know, theoretical. It's something to think about. It's an object lesson. For others, it's absolute truth. But if you think about it, go way back, rewind way back to the beginning of the Common Era. So just after, you know, years after Jesus had died on the cross, and there was this huge power struggle that was going on. Those that were in charge, those powers that be at that time, were really threatened by those who became followers of Jesus. And they were so threatened by what those people were doing that even though this guy was now dead And I don't know if they believed that he reappeared, you know, that he was resurrected. They were told that, but he didn't appear to all of the power structures. They could have, if they were really right that he didn't exist and he had no power, they could have just said, oh, big deal, let the people do what they're going to do. But they were really threatened by this movement of followers of Jesus. And it so well represents what we see in principle of the power struggle that exists today between those who are just trying to hold on to power and control everybody with their power, and those who just want to be free. So that's kind of the allegory that I had in mind. And I took some of this from basically the book of Acts, because that's where it talks about what happened after Jesus, you know, was crucified, died, and rose again, and then went to paradise. And then his followers were in this place where he had been crucified by evil religious and political leaders. And then they were simply trying to struggle to have free speech, to tell about him, to preach in the synagogues or to talk to people out in public. And they were thrown in jail and they were beaten and they were threatened. But what did they do? Did they roll over and did they give in? Did they capitulate? Did they live in fear? Or did they stand up for what they believed in? Well, of course, they stood up for what they believed in, and they did miracles and wonders, and they're full of the power of the Holy Spirit at that time. But the high priests and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they just couldn't stand it. They were so threatened by the fact that these apostles and disciples were able to have the ear of the people, and this threatened their whole system. I think that we're in a similar day today. The globalists, those who want to completely put a lock on all of us, they can see that most of the people, it would appear, definitely are under that spell and are afraid and are being compliant, and they're living in fear and paralysis. But they're very afraid of that small group of people who say, wait a minute, we're not going to stand for this. We're not going to roll over. We're just not going to do it because freedom is too precious to us to do that. And, you know, I just think this is a really, really amazing allegory to share. And I love the parts where, you know, these apostles were put in jail because they were preaching to the people. And then one night, angels appeared and opened the prison doors and just let the guys out of jail and then locked the doors again behind them and said, and they were instructed by the angel, by the Spirit of God, to go and preach in the synagogue. And then the rulers found out, and the rulers didn't know they'd been let out. They were like confused. So then they're sending their officers to go to the jail and find out what's happening with these people. Why are we hearing rumors that people are in the public square or in the synagogue preaching? And I was thinking when I read that, oh, isn't that interesting? We're having a problem with officers of the law right now, aren't we? Police
yes,
officers. Some of them are corrupt. Some of them are practicing heinous acts upon the people. Doesn't matter what color the people are. It matters that they're practicing heinous acts upon the people, and the people are one. The people stand together in solidarity. The people stand up for the people's rights, and they love all people of all colors. And so guess what? When you have a corrupt government in place, well, then you're probably bound to have some corrupt police officers who are just doing the bidding of those corrupt people in power, right?
Yep.
So very interesting.
There's also a lot of good
officers
out there that become targets because of these bad apples. So I would implore the good ones out there not to look the other way, not to be just complacent. Nah, we're not going to do anything about that, because really it's more important than ever that you police your own ranks, because we need to be able to, you know, hold you guys in high esteem again and say, yes, these guys are here to protect and serve, and you are important to us all, because we need you to be able to keep order. This is a very important function. And when this starts to break down because of the corruption, it all becomes a whole lot more difficult for everybody.
Well, it does. And you make a good point. Of course, the majority of police officers are good people. And it hurts my heart to think that now they feel like they're targets, and they have to feel uncomfortable when they're, what about when they're off duty? What about when they just get off duty and they're by themselves in uniform and they have to go get a gallon of milk or go to the grocery store? You know, this has put them in danger. This is wrong. But the point is, the analogy is that we live in a corrupt and evil time. Those powers of corruption production have gotten very strong. We're not at the same place we were, you know, 50 or 75 years ago. We have been undermined. And there are sleeper groups and people like George Soros who have been planning and plotting for years and getting vast organizational networks in place. And they've put on great propaganda campaigns to try to infect the minds of, you know, young people who really don't have any principle or values. You know, this is why John Adams, our second president, said our system is a system that was made for a religious and moral people. Think about that. If you don't have a religious and moral people, and you know, morality often comes from a religion, and I think religion can be terribly corrupt. I think of it more as a spiritual thing than a religious thing, but that the point is moral. If you don't have morality, you're not going to be able to handle freedom because you're not going to be able to respect the rights of other people. You're only going to care about your own rights. Well, what do we see now in our culture? People caring only about their own rights.
That's very selfish. That's exactly what's going on. That's very destructive. And there is a definite disconnect between religion and spirituality. The religion often gets in the way. The religion is always the excuse for doing heinous and disgusting things and being able to use as the control paradigm of the masses. We need to break free of all of that.
Well, we do. So this little section I was talking about is found in chapter 5 of Acts. And then, you know, these high priests and these government officials, they finally caught up with the apostles who had been let out of jail by the angel. And then they, you know, cornered them. But they were still afraid of what, you know, would happen if they let the people see them abusing them. So they said, "Did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name?" They were really threatened by the name of Jesus, by the way. "And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine." Oh, dear. Your thoughts, your ideas. Terrible that you should have free speech in an age of tyranny. "And intend to bring this man's blood upon us." So they knew they were guilty. They knew they were guilty of the very sin of spilling the blood of Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind. But they didn't want to be held accountable for it. So they didn't want these people speaking. Isn't that kind of also a parallel in our day? Well, those people who are all connected somehow and have control of Google and YouTube and everything. I hope I don't get your host banned. I'm sorry. But they want to protect the Gateses and those, you know, the Faucis, and the you know, they want to restrict information
all the time, Kara. So,
but they know they're guilty.
Oh,
they know they're guilty. So instead of copping to it, instead of being honest, they want to silence people's voices, and they want to silence not necessarily the truth, but just people's voices. We have to figure out what's true. Yeah. You only can tell what the official narrative is. Well, gee, those little guys running around with that Antifa costumes and face masks on, don't they? They do not know what fascism really is because they're acting just like the brown coats and the Hitlers did back in the day.
Hypocrisy all over. Just wow. You see that? Do you guys really understand what you're supposed to be standing for? Obviously not, because it's very fascist what they're doing.
Well, they're just full of rebelliousness, and they're getting a check to go out and be hired to do these protests, and they're filled with lawlessness and violence. They delight in doing violence. They love to destroy things. They like to hurt people. You know, it's kind of a bloodlust that the Bible talks about. And I don't mean to be preaching, but I am a Christian, and I just believe in free expression, and anybody is welcome to disagree with me in any way they want. But if, you know, if we really believe in free speech, if we really believe in freedom, then we believe we can talk about our beliefs. That's the whole reason to have freedom, right? So we can be who we are.
I agree.
But we've been kind of lulled into this complacency and this silence and this quietness. Well, as long as everything's comfortable, I guess we don't need to talk about religion. No, don't talk about religion and sex and politics. No, that would be taboo. Really? I think it's time that we start talking without political correctness, but with you know, respect for other people.
Kindness and compassion for one another. We can agree to disagree on things, and sometimes if we can have that compassion for one another, we can actually kind of bridge the gap and come to an understanding of, you know, mutual respect, and, you know, maybe we start to understand each other a little bit better.
Yeah, maybe, but if nothing else, at least we're living free. I'd rather live free than die a slave. How about you?
Absolutely. I'm all about that. like our friend Jason, yeah, you know, would say, you know, he would rather live for 10 more minutes, you know, free than 10 more years as a slave.
Yeah. And so these guys in the New Testament,
that, but you remember that.
Yeah, right? He has a really good way of putting it. But these guys said, you know, we can't, we're going to speak what God gives us. And you can try to silence us, but we would rather obey God than man. And God is within each one of us. He created each one of us, and he meant for us to be free. But we have to assert that. We can't wait for someone else to give it to us or to guarantee it for us. It doesn't come with a guarantee. It's just a truth that we have to walk in. I'm just encouraging people to walk in it in a loving, kind way, but to walk in it because it's so precious, and it has to be striven for. You know, it's just one of those things.
Freedom is absolutely precious, and if you really think about it, God's the ultimate libertarian because he granted us free will at great peril, you know, through all of this. It's all messy stuff that's going on is because of that, but I also maintain that without the freedom to choose right or wrong, to love, to hate, what would love mean if you didn't have a choice?
Well, exactly, you know. You have to have something to compare it with, I guess. So, you know, there's a lot of challenges implicit in what I'm saying, and I'm kind of just asking us, you know, what is the answer? We all have to find something that we can do proactively about the current situation. People who own businesses need to freaking open up their businesses and not expect that some mayor or governor can tell them how they have to go about doing it.
Yep, absolutely. I completely agree with that. Okay, we got one more segment in this hour. We'll be right back after these messages.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
All right, this is the last segment of the hour here. I want to throw the number out, 800-313-9443. Let's start stacking up the phone lines here for the second hour. Kara's got an appointment to get to here, so she may be back before the end of the show, but this is going to be the last segment for right now, so go ahead and give us a wrap up there.
Okay, thank you, Dave. I've really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And I apologize for, you know, I'm really wound up. It's such a joy to be here and to join you and your listeners. And I knew we only had an hour, so I've just been like really trying to rev through this. Otherwise, my voice would be more pleasant. But, you know, another thing that I'm thinking about with regard to this allegory that I think is really important and interesting is that, you know, back in the day when these new converts and apostles were causing so much of a stir in Jerusalem, you know, what they were doing is they were healing people. They were healing everybody who came to them who had a disease or an illness or an unclean spirit, you know, or anything like that. They all got healed, even by the shadow of Peter passing by them, you know, kind of like Jesus when he was still here. If someone touched the hem of his garment, they were healed. These people were sold out. They were completely believing what they believed, and they had power. They did. And I think it's an interesting comparison with our day as well. You know, the power structures that be, they were really up in arms. Oh my gosh, these people are getting healed. These people are doing works and wonders and miracles. We can't have that. We need the people to be dependent on us. And we need them to come to the synagogue and to the religious places to give us their money and depend on us and look to us for instruction. Same thing happens today. Look at the pharmaceutical industry and that lobby, the greatest lobby of all. Look at the way people are held in fear in terms of their health conditions. They think, many of them worship the pharmaceutical industry, thinking that modern medicine is their savior when all they're doing is giving drugs. They're being given drugs that basically treat their symptoms but don't make them healthy. And this is a huge corrupt industry.
With
unfortunately,
lots of side effects that make them even sicker, but they got pills for that too.
Exactly. And I don't mean to say that all pharmaceutical companies or biotech companies are bad. They're not all bad. And there are a lot of good people in that industry. But as a whole, that industry has become quite corrupt and very powerful. And you can see that just as the rulers of the day, the early Christian era, were very threatened by those who believed in and depended on something greater than what they saw around them, we're seeing the same thing today. Those who want to rule, those who are bent on power, want to have us in their back pocket, and they want to control every little thing about us, and they want us to live in fear, because that's a huge manipulator. So we have to consciously come out of that mindset and take control of our lives. And I'll give you one other quick analogy. There's a book called The Survivors Club. It's written by Ben Sherwood. I love that book because he goes into all these different scenarios about ways that people's lives are threatened and how what the statistics say about when and how people have survived those threats. And then he pulls out the details, the statistics about what made the difference. Being prepared ahead of time and thinking ahead is what keeps you from being paralyzed and becoming a victim. So don't be paralyzed, people. Be proactive.
All right, Kara, thanks so much for being with us. We will be right back after these messages. Call 800-313-9443 to join us on the air.
Thank you, Dave. We'll be right back.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.